Good morning once again, church. It's great to have you with us as you've accessed our website. For those of you who worship regularly at Lismore Baptist Church, it's great to have you with us again, joining us as we read God's Word together. We pray and seek the Lord. If you're visiting with us, we know that there are a few visitors who are joining us each week on our website. Great to have you as well with us. And we want you to, you know, be encouraged as we join together. Much has been happening in the world of COVID and the restrictions and the easing of restrictions. And as I record this service, this is on Friday morning, news just in is that there will be the allowance for up to 50 people in worship services from next week or the next following week. And so as Lismore Baptist Church, we are working towards gathering together face to face starting Sunday, the 7th of June. So this could actually be the last sermon that is in this format, although even when we're gathering next Sunday, by the look of it, Sunday the 7th, we will still be recording these services and placing them online. So if you're visiting on our website, be assured that we will continue to provide you with messages and sermons and encouragement each week. So don't despair. Just because we're back into our building again, you can continue to access our sermons. But we're looking forward to the opportunity to be able to gather together. Now, obviously, a number of things need to fall into place in order for that to happen. It'll be a maximum of 50 people, so we'll have to navigate what that looks like, how we're seated, what the services look like with regard to other aspects of all of this: communion, morning tea, kids ministry, hugs, handshakes, all of these sort of things we'll have to consider. But so continue to keep your ears and eyes open as we start to navigate this, and also as we start to look at what that may look like starting next week. If you're with us and you regularly listen to this message, you'll know that we're going through a sermon series. The sermon series is Anxious for Nothing, based on a book of the same name by Max Lucado, prolific writer of Christian books, great writer who is able to bring a concept and bring it to life and apply it into our lives. And so for the last few weeks and for a few more weeks, we're going to continue to look at this concept of being anxious for nothing. And it's based on the passage in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through to 8. Philippians 4, 4 through to 8. So if you've got your Bibles with you, and if you've also been able to access the PowerPoint slides that are located adjacent to where you've accessed this sermon, you should see just below where you've clicked on the sermon, down below you should see both a study guide and slides. They can be quite helpful as we're going through this sermon together. Grab your Bibles, click on slides, get ready. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are present. We are thankful that you have provided your word. We are thankful that your spirit is within us and amongst us. We are thankful that we are not alone, and that as we join together in worship, in reading your word, in praying, that you are leading us, that we can grow in maturity, strength, and faith. And so we would pray again as we gather together, not physically, but in our homes, but together as one, you will speak, you will guide, you will have your way amongst us for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we've titled the sermon, Perfect Peace. Perfect Peace. And we base it on about halfway through this passage that we're looking at in Philippians chapter 4. And if we come to verse 7, we read this particular verse from the pen of Paul as he's writing a letter to the Philippian church. And he says this, "The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A number of years ago, there was a movie that came out that was simply called Perfect Storm. If you ever watched that movie, it was a movie about this fisherman who was chasing the perfect catch of fish, and they were game enough to go out into the deep waters in order to be able to catch this amazing catch of fish, even though they knew that they were going into what was deemed to be the perfect storm. Now, what appeared to be the consensus on what it mean to be a perfect storm was that there was a whole lot of aspects of meteorology that needed to come together in order to create this perfect storm. So it needed to be certain temperature, wind conditions, sea temperature, all of these things needed to come together in sync in order to create this storm that no one had ever really seen before. And of course, it wasn't a true story. It was a fictitious story. But the principle in play was that when all of those conditions came together in sync, it created this perfect storm which absolutely wreaked havoc upon the people on this fishing trawler. The fact is that it would appear that there are perfect storms in our own life. And for many of us, we will come across a particular situation in our life. It could be some conflict. It could be a health issue. It could be different things that occur that on its own create some difficulties. But what quite often happens is that we will get this perfect storm in life where you get the job layoff, the breakup, the conflict all occur at once or in one after the other, which just creates this perfect storm within our life. Now, I've heard this commented on a number of occasions within the Australian life, over the last probably 12 months, but particularly the last 6 months or more. As Australians, we've endured the drought, which fed into becoming the bushfire, which when the drought broke, we had the flood, and now we've got the coronavirus pandemic. And it just seems like we've had here as Australians, but in other aspects around the world, they've had their own, this perfect storm of events that's just created absolute turmoil. Absolute turmoil. And you can understand for people who would be incredibly anxious as you try to navigate. Now, for a lot of counsellors and people helpers, they will be aware of particular, and they call them stress markers in people's lives. That if you have one particular stress marker, that could be the death of a loved one, it could be a marriage breakup, it could be moving house, and they will actually have a number that will be associated to particular stress markers. And big ones like, you know, death in the family, death of a loved one, particular health issues, moving house, job layoff, gives you a particular stress marker. Now, if two of these events or more happen, as you can imagine, there's a multiplying effect on the level of stress within a person's life. It kind of creates this perfect storm. And yet, Paul here, in his letter to the Philippians, says that it is possible to experience the peace of God. Now, I've read this verse 7, which talks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, it's beyond our ability to comprehend this peace that we can experience. Sometimes we think we should be worried, but the peace of God actually seems to eliminate it. Now, bearing in mind, this verse starts off with, and the peace of God. So it's saying what happens before. And over the last few weeks in this sermon series, we've talked about, you know, the ability for us to be able to rejoice always, to practice prayer, to understand the blessing of thanksgiving as part of our prayer. And as Paul works through this in chapter 4, he comes to this point where he says it's the peace of God then will be something that is realized within us, which transcends nothing that we can cognitively process. We should be worried, but we're not, because God's peace is able to do something that we in ourselves cannot do. How can we know this peace of God? Now, today, using this Philippians 4 passage as a launching pad, and as we've done over the last few weeks, we launch into another story or another passage in the Bible that helps us to comprehend this. And today, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 27. Now, this in many respects is completely, it's not a completely different story, because this is a story all about Paul. Paul, who wrote Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church, is also the central character in this chapter in Acts, Acts chapter 27. Now, this is about a perfect storm, and how Paul experienced a perfect peace in the midst of this perfect storm. Now, Paul is on this ship as a prisoner, with other prisoners, with sailors, cargo and others, and they're on their way. And Paul is on his way to Rome, where he's going to be handed over. And we read this in the first part of verse 27. I won't read out the whole lot, but what we see here is they're heading off. Now, this ultimately becomes Paul's last journey. And as we know, as we read the rest of Acts, we see that Paul spent much time sailing around the Mediterranean, traveling. He spent much of his life traveling, planting, and overseeing churches. And he's on his way to prison. And we can add the dots together, and we can see that Paul, on his way to prison, spends really the last days of his life in prison there, and it's probably in that prison there where he writes Philippians. So here it is that as Paul writes Philippians chapter 4, the passage in which his whole sermon series is based on, as he's writing this, he's probably looking back on this incident that occurs in Acts 27. So here they are sailing, and that they stop off at a number of different places, as we read in the early part of chapter 27. And as they're moving from place to place and on their way to Italy, they ended up getting held up, as we see towards verse 7 and verse 8. It was difficulty because of the winds and so on. And in verse 9, we read that they had lost a whole lot of time. And they just really wanted to keep moving. But we see here in verse 10 and 11 that Paul brings a warning. He says, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. He ignored the warning from Paul. Now, you could argue, well, Paul is really just a prisoner here. Why would you listen to the advice of a prisoner? But we know that Paul is no ordinary prisoner. So they sail off against the advice from Paul, and off they go. But we come to verse 14. If you've got your Bibles, Acts 27, verse 14. What starts off as a nice, gentle sail across the Mediterranean, before long, in verse 14, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. Huge storm. Now, you've got to realize that on this ship would have been experienced pilot, sailors, people who had done much traveling around the Mediterranean. This was no ordinary low that just occurred off the coast. This was an unusual and terrifying storm. And the ship was caught up in the storm. It couldn't head into the wind. And so at the end of it, it really could just give way, and it was just driven along by the storm. We come down to verse 20. And after they had thrown things overboard to try to lighten up the ship, after they had lowered sea anchors and it was pulled along by the storm, in verse 20 we read that neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, and finally they gave up all hope of being saved. Like a death sentence. There's no hope. This storm is going to consume us. And we actually read down in verse 27, it says that this storm raged for 14 days. 14 days. Think about the storms that we experience in the northern rivers here. You get a storm that passes through and it might be hit for 10, 15 minutes and then it's gone. Then you've got to, clean up the mess or whatever. Or sometimes you can get a bit of a low that sort of sits over, but that's generally just rain. This was a storm that raged for 14 days. 14 days. Now note, these were experienced sailors and they were scared. And yet as we read here, we see that Paul, a prisoner, now although not a professional sailor, had spent much time sailing on the Mediterranean. So even though he wasn't experienced per se, he knew something that the sailors didn't know. What did Paul know? And as we look at this story, maybe you can reflect on your own situation. Now, we're not necessarily talking about a physical storm, but you may be in a perfect storm yourself. A storm of anxiety. A storm of trauma. A storm of uncertainty. A storm that's affecting your health, your well-being, your finances, your relationships. Paul, in the middle of this storm, seemed to know a peace which was beyond any normal understanding. And we read in verse 21 and 22, Paul spoke and he said, "After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Powerful words from a prisoner on board a ship that was being battered by the perfect storm. What did Paul know? What can we learn from the perfect peace experienced by Paul in Acts 27? The first thing I think we can learn from a perfect storm and how to experience perfect peace is rebuke. It's fascinating that Paul starts his dialogue in the middle of this storm saying, "You should have listened to me. I told you we shouldn't have sailed, and yet you continued to sail." I think there's times when we're in the midst of a perfect storm that we need a rebuke. We need correction. There are times when we are experiencing anxiety and trauma, and we have brought them upon ourselves. There are people who decided that it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. There are people who say it's okay to take on this enormous amount of debt. There are those who get so caught up in their work or their world that they neglect family. They neglect their well-being. For many of us, we've made decisions in the moments that are not good decisions. And we're suffering the consequence of a perfect storm in our life because of the decisions that we have made. God rebukes those he loves. We read that in his word. So there are times when we, in the midst of those difficult days, we need to listen. Now, they're not easy things to do. I don't think anybody enjoys being rebuked. But as you think about the storm that you are in, the question you've got to ask is, do I need to be corrected? Is part of this storm that God is saying, "I'm rebuking you, but I'm doing it because I love you. I care for you. But you need to learn out of all of this that you have made decisions that are not part of my will, and that you've sailed on into that storm. You've made decisions that are contrary to God's will." What is our response? He's calling us to repentance. Repent. Don't despair, because remember, he rebukes those he loves. So, rebuking, a rebuke from God, is a powerful thing, a loving thing. And as we look at this passage in Acts 27, we see that what follows this rebuke from Paul in verse 21 moves into something also that's quite powerful, and that is the second thing that we learn are the promises. And I can see here that there are three promises that Paul outlines. And the first one is this. The promise is that you aren't alone. You aren't alone. Look at this in verse 23. Paul says, "Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me." In the middle of that perfect storm, Paul realized tangibly that he was not alone. And he brought that encouragement to all of those on board. Now, Paul talks about an angel. Now, we know that we're not alone because we have the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us and with us at all times. But we also know, as we read God's word, that there are ministering angels that are around us. The Bible, in a number of areas, talks about the ministry of angels, God's agents that we see talked about and we read the stories about, who come to support us, to minister to us, to guard off the demonic as well. We can read that, and there is a promise that there are angels with you right now. There are angels with me right now, ministering, serving the Lord. I've heard a number of powerful stories of people who have experienced tangibly the ministry of angels. People here within our own church in Lismore Baptist who have got stories of angels, of hearing, seeing, realizing, recognizing the ministry of angels round about us, coming to serve us. We read throughout the Bible that there were angels with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. We read of angels who were with Peter as he walked out of jail. Angels right about us right now. For those of you who worship regularly with us, you'd know of a dear old lady who's gone on to be with the Lord, Olive Laverty. Olive was a faithful lady within our church over many, many years and only passed away a couple of years ago. And I remember on one particular Sunday, and I don't know why it was that particular Sunday, she took me aside. And anybody who knows Olive, she's not caught up normally into the hype and emotion or emotionalism. But she had a word for me that day, and she said, as I was sitting listening to you preach on that particular day, she said, I saw an angel standing right alongside you. Be encouraged, John, said Olive. God has appointed angels to surround you. Now, like I said, anybody who knew Olive when she was at Lismore Baptist Church, you would know she's not a person who would normally say those sort of things. So when she said that to me, I was certainly listening, and it gave me a great sense of encouragement in what was a reasonably difficult time at that stage. Angels are with us right now. The second promise that Paul brings as they're on that ship in that perfect storm, he says, you're not alone. He says, because you belong to God. I'll read this passage again. Verse 23 says, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong. I belong to God. That's an incredible promise. As Paul on this ship, addressing these scared sailors and prisoners, he said, I belong to God. For anybody who's been aware of working with kids or youth programs or running any of these sort of things like camps or others, you'd have these what's called indemnity forms. And so what that basically means is that if a child was to go to a camp or an event, you'd fill out a form that basically says that would be signed by your parent, that would basically say that, or a parent or a guardian, that would say, I am responsible for this child. So if an incident was to occur and they go back to this form, they would say, Mrs. Smith is fully responsible. She is the parent or guardian of this child. She will take full responsibility. Contact her. her. Same here is that what's happening is that Paul recognizes that it was if we belong to God, in a similar way, it's like signing an indemnity form and saying, God, that is to whom we belong. He is responsible for us because we belong to him. What an incredible promise. Even in the midst of a storm, God is fully responsible because we belong to him. And the third promise we read here is that, as we read at the last part of verse 23, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. The great confidence Paul has, if he is in God's service, if he has been called by God to serve him, Paul had the peace and the confidence that he would not live one day less than the Lord planned for him. That the God ordained that the end of his days was then, that's the end of his days. But he also had the confidence to know that God, in whom he belonged, had appointed him into his service. His life was never going to be too short or too long, that the days that were numbered and decreed by God was the days that he was going to live. Now, I know for most of us, we certainly don't have as clear a sense of call as what Paul appeared to have. But the confidence we can take from this, as Paul had that confidence to know that as he belonged to him, that the days would be decreed by God. The number of days have already been determined. It's the quality of those days, how we live out those days, that we determine. You are in the Lord's service. The confidence you can take from that is to know that God has all of that in his hand. And that's where we move on to verse 25, and we see this, where Paul, as he concludes this message to the occupants of this ship, he says, "Keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that this will happen just as he told me." He said, we may find ourselves in all sorts of problems. We may find ourselves in the middle of a storm, but we can have the confidence to know that God is in control. God is in control. And let's face it, people. No matter who we are, no matter where we live, no matter the type of people that we are, we all have to die before we find the eternal promise. We all have to pass through a storm of some description. But what we read here in Acts 27, the comfort that we can take from this is we don't face this storm or endure this storm on our own. The perfect presence of God's Holy Spirit is with us. His angels surround us. We can have the confidence of know that we belong to him. And he has already determined the number of days because he has called us to serve him. What is the storm in your life? Is it a personal one? We're all part of a larger storm of a coronavirus. We're all part of a larger storm of the uncertainty of life's events. storms of health, storms of conflict, storms of uncertainty. I encourage you to read this passage again. And I pray that you would experience the same sort of peace that Paul had in the midst of that storm. And as he trusted in God, endured that storm, survived that storm, later on in prison, which you could argue is another storm, Paul could write the words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's my prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone who is listening to these words today. For whatever storm, whatever trauma, stresses, anxiety that we are experiencing, that as we surrender to you, acknowledging that we are not alone, that we belong to you because of what Christ has done for us. That we live because you decree that we live. And when we die, that'll be your day for us. Whatever we experience is not just an accident, but you are with us, you are leading us, and we can trust in you. I pray for the perfect peace that we cannot understand will ensure that our hearts and minds are set on you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that which you give us. Continue to assure us of our place in your family. For your glory and for your honor, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all, folks. Once again, we will continue to have a Zoom fellowship at 11 o'clock. Make sure you join us, contact me if you would like further details about that, and all things going as they should. We'd love to see many of you next Sunday in our church building. God bless you all. Have a great week.